Well, good morning, everyone. Buenos dias. If you don't know me and if we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Josh Rodriguez. I'm one of the members of the teaching team here at Life Community Church. And if you're a little new to our church, here's something that you would find out. On a given Sunday, you're not going to just continue to hear from the just one person week after week after week. We're blessed with a large teaching team. So even in this current series, you've heard from a few people. And as we continue to close the series in the next couple weeks, you're going to hear from a few more. So God has blessed us in that way with a large teaching team. Another thing that you'll notice about our church is that God has called us. He's called us to reach out to all kinds of people. But in particular, to bring people together who speak both English and Spanish, and to draw them together as one unified body. And so we're still learning and growing to discover what does that mean. And as we learn and grow, that means practically you're going to see some things in English and Spanish on the papers. You saw it in the songs and in the lyrics. Each week we translate. There's some days where we do have a live translation right in front of you. But we're still following after God as he's put that on our heart to see what that means. So as we learn and as we grow, along the way, we make some mistakes. That just kind of happens and that kind of comes with the territory. And as we learn in that, we need to have some grace. To extend grace, to give grace, and to share that grace with others. But maybe if I ask you this particular question, even knowing that there's grace, do any of you hesitate to speak another language? To speak some of those words? And you don't have to raise your hand or stand up or anything like that. What I mean by this, not practice those words at home, or not just to try with Duolingo, but to actually do that in person, right? It takes a step. It takes some courage to do that. And I want to admit that I hesitate to do that as well, probably more than I should. And the reason I hesitate is because I'm worried about messing up. I don't want to say the wrong word. I don't want to mispronounce it. And that keeps me from engaging with more people. That keeps me from different conversations and perhaps meeting some new people. And if that's the case for me, perhaps it might be the case for someone else here today as well. Well, as I had this in mind, I was just kind of looking up particular words to translate and maybe some common mistakes to avoid. And it made me realize that English is not as easy a language to learn as I thought. When it comes to English, when you have the letters O and W, it's ow. And when you have O, W, and L, that's owl. But when you put a B in front of it, B-O-W-L, it's not bowl, it's bowl. So English will have a rule, and then you'll break it. And then we'll have another rule, and then we'll break it. And so it made me think, well, how's Spanish? And for Spanish, there's some pretty easy words to learn and remember, and maybe there's some that you already know. So the English word important, in Spanish, what's the Spanish word for important? Look at that. You guys are already on the ball. And then there's another word, like favorite. What's the Spanish word for favorite? Easy again. So it sounds like there's a number of words in Spanish. All you got to do is add an A, or all you got to do is add an O, and it gets you headed in the right direction. So we get a little bit of confidence, and if you need some more confidence, this is a plug. Sunday mornings, we have conversation partners right before the service, and there's a lot of grace there, and you'll learn and you'll grow. But let's say we practice and we go to the restaurant, right? Now we're starting to get nervous because this is in person, right there. And you're thinking of something that you want to eat, and maybe you want to get a salad. What's the Spanish word for salad? Easy again. And you think ensalada, and then you maybe overheard somebody say enchilada, and you're like, well, those sound the same, but they're two very different words. One's going to get you some lettuce, and the other one's going to get you a great meal. So our words, the words that we have, they definitely matter, right? And if you get nervous, and if you mess up, and you want to say, oh, I'm sorry, I said the wrong word, and you're thinking of what's the Spanish word for embarrassed? Do I add an O? Do I add an A? Do I add another? And if you say embarazada, does that not work? It sounds like embarrassed. Muy embarazada. Muy, muy embarazada. And people are going to look at you a little funny. Why? What does embarazada mean? Woo! So if I keep telling the person at the restaurant, muy embarazada, me, muy, muy embarazada, they're going to say, no, no. You might be embarrassed, but no, that's not right. And the reason is because our words matter. Now, they may make us laugh at times, but when it comes to our words, they carry some big weight. Our words can lead us to laughter, and our words can lead us to tears. Our words have so much potential. They can inspire. They can make us laugh. They can draw us together. But our words, they can cut deep. They can tear. And they can divide. Our words are so powerful, and we felt the weight of our words in times when it's good, in times when it's bad, and maybe even evil. And so in light of this, what should we do? Do we hesitate and not say any words at all for fear that we're going to mispronounce, that we're not going to say the right thing? No, that's taking it too far to the extreme. We shouldn't stay silent and not say anything at all. But perhaps there's something else to do. And the other option is not as good, that anytime something comes into our head, that it just comes out without any thought, without any reflection. And so what we want to do is we want to find this middle. We want to find a balance. And so to do that, we're going to turn to a book in the Old Testament, a book of wisdom, the book of Ecclesiastes. And today we're going to be in chapter 5, and it's this series we've been going through, and we're about in the middle of that, but it's this surprising hope that we find in this book of Ecclesiastes. And here we're going to find some helpful words that will guide our words, to help us to encourage others, to build them up, as well as to honor God. And so if you have a Bible, if you have a device, if you want to turn to that, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we're going to read just 7 verses today. And then we're going to have the words on the screen. I'll get that for you there. And so you can follow along as we read these. And it begins here in verse number 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow
than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, "My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands?" Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. So to get the context for this particular book, it's written by the teacher of all teachers. And what this teacher is doing, he is sharing his life and his experience and all of his adventures. If we would think of this particular individual in today's language, we might call this teacher of all teachers, maybe a title something like this: the world's richest man, the one who has done it all, the most fascinating person in the world. Books that might be written on this teacher would be a bestseller. It would be the interview that everyone would want to listen to and to hear. And so over the past few weeks, we've been hearing these adventures, and he's been describing all these things that he has seen and all these things that he has done. And as he would describe them, our mouths would be wide open. Perhaps we would say, "Wow, you did that and that and that." All kinds of pleasures. He was a man who held nothing back. And riches, riches upon riches. But it wasn't just a person who had experienced all these pleasures and all these riches and wealth, but brilliant. So much so that if he would be in a room, he could fill a room, he could fill an arena with people who would lean in, who would want to hear every word that he would have to say with his wisdom and with his knowledge and his work and accomplishments. Incredible. Wow. But the shocker to all this is that after all these things that he had done, here's what he would say at the end. He would say, of all of these things that he did not find joy, he did not find his purpose or contentment in ways that he thought he might. Because when he talked about pleasure, he would say to us, pleasure, this pleasure, that pleasure, any pleasure and every pleasure, it still has something that leaves you, that you're still not satisfied. And knowledge and wisdom to know all these things, that it would lead him to frustration and grief. Because now you've seen, now you know everything that happens behind the scenes and what all, you know, comes together. And work, projects, not just a job, the dream job, all these things meaningless. And wealth, riches upon riches. He was still up at night with questions, wondering, with all my wealth, what's going to happen when I'm gone? Will somebody squander it? Will somebody waste it? And so for all these things, he would say, all these things that we could accomplish and do on this blue marble that we call Earth, he would say, all these things under the sun, that they are meaningless. Vanity, like vapor, that you chase after them, but it's like a mirage that you feel and hope it'd be solid, that there would be something there, but there isn't. It's just a chasing, and like a chasing after the wind. And our mouths would be open again, but now not with a wow. It would be, wow, really? Because on a smaller scale, we chase after all kinds of things. If you're in school, you're chasing to be out of school. If you're single, you might be chasing to not be single. and to be married and perhaps married, you're hoping to have children. And then as you have children, you're hoping that they grow up and then and be, you know, successful. And then at some point you want them to grow up and move out of the house. And then you want a job, but not just any job. You want this job. And after that job, you want another job or a dream job. And then some point you don't want to do a job. And so we chase after one thing and the next thing. And you see, we can always be focused on something out there saying, if only, and the teacher would say, I've chased after those things and it's not all that I thought it would be. And the reason I share all this is because that is the context of this passage. He has shared over and over, building up, and this would be one long conversation to read through this entire book, to hear this one conversation with the teacher. But in the middle, he wants to make sure, I didn't lose you, did I? You might have said, wow and wow, but I want to make sure I have your attention. Do I have your attention? Give me a thumbs up. Do I have your attention here? And the teacher would be saying the same thing. I need to know that you're still with me. And so instead of talking to the audience, or I'm sorry, talking about all these things and the audience listening, he would pause and say, now I need to talk to the audience. I need you to hear this. And what he says in that first verse is, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. The house of God is where we meet with God. And back in that time in the temple, people would come to meet God and understand that this is a time and a place for sincerity and for reverence. People would bring offerings. They would bring sacrifice. And there are ways that you would approach God. There are ways that the priest would conduct themselves. So how should we conduct ourselves? With honor, with reverence. So we need to pause. Consider where you are. Consider who he is. Don't just go any way with any thought, but guard your steps. Honoring him reverently. So obviously we should consider how we approach God in his house, but this verse actually says, guard our steps when you go. So that means that there's a way we should conduct ourselves in God's house, in his presence, but as he says, when you go, that means there's a way to conduct ourselves on the way. There's a way to conduct ourselves at God's house, and there's a way we need to conduct ourselves after we leave God's house. Because what's the point if we just honor God for a few minutes right here, right now, in his house, but when we leave, we totally dishonor God? So we need to consider that, how we approach God. And when we're here, how we approach God and how we honor him as we go. And it says to go to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Otherwise, it could lead us to foolish things. Some might bring some half-hearted sacrifices. Some people might bring things out of duty. Or maybe they just kind of run through the motions. They're there, but they're not really there. They're half listening. Or maybe listening, but not thinking to listen to obey. And if they struggled with that, then I imagine we could struggle with that as well. Verse 2 says this, do not be quick with your mouth or hasty in your heart. God is in heaven, so let your words be few. Ooh, that one could keep us busy for a while. Do not be quick with your words. That could help us avoid some headaches. Anyone ever said anything they regretted? Came out a little too fast? Maybe you're one of those people where you have no trouble getting the words out of your mouth, right? It kind of just flows and comes out like a fire hydrant. Actually, I'm a forced extrovert. I don't do this all the time. I'd rather just be quiet. I have to prepare. I have the words right here in front of me, you know, as a guide. But normally, when I'm in conversation, it is this slow-moving crank that takes a while to get moving. And what I learned early on in our marriage, my wife can say what she is thinking and feeling, and she can say things with real, she can say it concise. She can say it very clearly and very quickly. I am the opposite. I am very slow, and I need to think about that. So when there are moments when I was trying to be smart and quick with my wife, and I thought I was pretty clever, I would say something, but I only got one thing, and it's going to take me 5 minutes to say that next thing. And so I might say something and try to be smart and clever, and she could say something just real quick and be like, "Is that all you got?" And I tried to spin that crank very quickly and get something else out, nice and smart, and I'd get that out, and it'd be a struggle. And she'd say, "Well, that took you a while." See, I'm not quick with my words, and so early on, I would try to speed up my words, and I would rush. And when I would rush, I would say some very foolish things. And whether you say things very quickly, or if it takes you a while to say words, we all can get in some trouble when we rush before we speak, right? James would say it this way, "Dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." So we need to think before we speak. But the problem is, people around us say otherwise, don't they? Because it's a race to see who gets the first word when it comes to the news. It's not about accuracy, it's about speed. And maybe when you think of social media, it's about who can get their words out the fastest, the longest, and get the most people to hear that. And how does that do for us? And it says, "God is in heaven. So let your words be few." Pause and remember God's greatness. Imagine if you were in the presence of somebody who was pretty great at something. You're in front of Michael Jordan. You're in front of Tiger Woods. You're in front of Messi. And in front of them, great athletes, you start talking about all your skills. "Hey, I played ball back in the day. Want to show me? Let me show you something." To Jordan? Really? Let's pause. Let's consider our words. And if that sounds foolish to do that in front of Tiger Woods, Jordan, and others, how about in front of God? So let our words be few. Why? In Matthew, would say this, we don't need to keep babbling on and that God would hear us just because of the length of our prayers and because of our words. And he would say this as well, your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. God knows. And that next verse in Ecclesiastes says, in many words, they mark the speech of a what? Of a fool. So how do we not be a fool? Well, it starts with pausing. Maybe we don't need as many words, but that does not mean we stay silent forever. There is a time to speak, and there is a way to speak. And so it says this, that when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools, so fulfill your vow. Verse 5, it is better not to make a vow than to make one and to fulfill it. So make your words count. Well, let me ask you this question then. How's your word? Think about that for a bit. How is your word? How are your promises? Do you mean what you say? When someone gives their word and when somebody says, I promise, do you believe them? Sometimes children say something like this. Do you really promise? Do you really, really promise? And as adults, we might say some things as well, but think of the phrases that we say when it comes to our word and promises. We have phrases like this. Don't believe everything you hear. Actions speak louder than words. So when you commit, can others count on you? How's your word? And what would other people say about your word? Because it's not just trivial things that we promise. It's vows, it's contracts, it's things that affects families, it affects relationships, affects jobs, and all kinds of things. And we're also impacted by people who break vows, who break promises, and who break their word. And so if we don't want to feel the sting of meaningless words, then maybe we need to just start right here. Because they may continue to say words that are meaningless. They may rush to speak their words, but that does not have to be what we do. So we need to say what we mean. We need to fulfill our vows. We need to be more than just beyond good intentions. And if our words matter when we speak our vows and our promises to each other, how much more does that mean when we make these promises and vows to God? Verse 6 says this, do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Now, I know there are going to be times where we might be apologetic and we might have to say, I'm sorry. We might say, my bad. But sometimes we're just careless. And we say, my bad. And then we do it again. My bad. My bad again. My bad again, again, again. Now we're just being very loose with our words. Mean what we say. James would say this as well, with our words and with our tongue. We praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we also curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of this same mouth come praise and cursing. This should not be. Paul would say this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And in Colossians, in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When I think about words, I don't even have to think very long and hard. And actually, I don't even have to look very far. For people who are right here in this room that have said very meaningful words that have built me up, that have encouraged me, people that have said even this week, I'm praying for you. I know you're sharing this Sunday, and I'm praying for you. And there will be people after this service that will come up and encourage me. I appreciate that encouragement. If you got some constructive feedback, I'll wait till Monday. I'm fragile on Sunday. I beat myself up enough. Give me a day. Actually, give me a week, and then I'll take it. But there are many in this room that have given words to build and encourage me. And I bet if you thought or just even looked around, you would find others here that have said words that have lifted you up, that have encouraged you as well. So we can use our words to build others up. Where might we do that? Who could use that? It says, much dreaming and many words, they can be meaningless. But he concludes with this. Therefore, from all that's been said in this section and what all has been said in this entire book, it points and it's leading us here. Therefore, fear God. Remember, he has been sharing all these experiences and all these things that are meaningless. And that in the middle, he tells us, as we can worship God with our words, this mid-conclusion is fear God. And at the end of the book, he's going to continue to share more and more. But when he gets to the end, these are his final verses. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Don't miss the conclusion of this section. Don't miss the conclusion of the entire book. It is to fear God, to obey him. All these things under the sun, don't expect them to fill you, because they can't. But Josh, I'd like a better job. I'd like a dream job. Those might be gifts, a gift you may get and a gift you may not get. But remember, in any job, remember who you actually serve. In riches, whether you have little, whether you have a lot, we can still find joy in God. Fear him. Trust him. And there's all kinds of gifts from God. You may get some gifts that you would like, gifts that you would want, but the real gift is God. Trust him, fear him, and obey him. So what does this mean for us? Maybe these are some things for us to reflect on, perhaps to talk about together in groups. Guard your words. Pause. Listen. Perhaps before we speak, don't rush with our words. But that doesn't mean we stay silent forever. Use your words. Where can you go this week to build others up? Who needs to hear those words? Perhaps in person, in phone call. You can text them in English and in Spanish, whatever. Let's get to building others up. But then don't forget this. Remember his words. Because you will make mistakes. You have and you will. I have and I will. But don't let them just hold us down and hold us back. Remember his words over words of discouragement and words of doubt. Maybe even words that have hurt us or words that might haunt us. Consider Paul. Paul, who if he was hearing the words, you were a rebel, you were in opposition to the church, accomplice to murder and persecution, but yet Paul would hear his words and would say something like this, for I am the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be an apostle, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. Peter might have heard the words, disciple? No. How about liar? How about promise breaker? And vow breaker, and Peter had to listen to Jesus' words. When Peter heard those words, follow me, again he would say, follow me, and it would impact Peter to where he would say these words later. and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a while, he will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Now, I like this book of Joshua. It's a cool name. And apparently Joshua needed some courage. He needed to be built up, and he heard these words, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go." And David, hearing the words in his mind, adulterer, murderer, king. And yet he would hear words that would land deep in his soul and heart that would lead him to share these words that we need to hear. Blessed, not when you have all the things. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Remember his words. Church, let's be a people who guard our words. Let's be a people who use our words. But let's also be a people who cling and who remember his words. Transformed by his grace, living by his grace, and sharing that grace and good news with others. So fear God. Obey him. Blessed are those that are forgiven. Blessed are those who fear and trust him. Whatever we do, wherever we go, and whatever the circumstance, we can trust and give him honor in what we say and do. Amen? Band, if you could come down, and I'm going to say a word of prayer. God, I want to say thanks. I want to thank you for your word. Because there are moments when we hear and hold the words that are all around us. Words that tell us to chase after all kinds of things. And we're haunted by words that have hurt us before. And we struggle to get past them. But God, would you help us to be a people who hear your word, who cling to your word, and who are changed by your word, so that good news would resonate in us and through us, and so that we could be your hands and feet everywhere we go. God, we thank you for sharing your grace. We thank you for sharing your love to us. Help us to use our words to build others up. And for that, we want to say thanks. We're thankful for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. And we ask this in your name. Amen.